Welcome back to Coast to Coast. For the next couple hours, we're going to keep you on the end of your chair as we talk about Seth on Death and the Afterlife and the Reality Creator's Handbook. Mark Alan Frost back with us as we talk about channeling next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Mark Alan Frost back with us. He holds a master's degree in counseling psychology from the Dominican University. He is also the channel for the metaphysical author, educator, known as Seth. Mark and Seth have written a number of books together. Mark channels Seth to provide readings for clients all around the planet. Welcome back, Mark. Good to have you. I can't think of a better time to have you back right now. Too many things are going on.
That's for sure. An exciting time to be on the planet.
Oh, it sure is. It sure is. As long as we can stay on the planet, right?
Exactly.
Hey, back many years ago, Jane Roberts channeled someone called Seth. She wrote her book called Seth Speaks. Is your Seth the same, or is that different?
Well, I would say yes, he is the same. When I first met him in my little hypnotherapy office in San Rafael, California, it was through a client I was regressing. I was giving her a past life regression, and Seth came through. He identified himself as Seth. I said, "Are you the Jane Roberts Seth?" He said, "Indeed I am. I've come to write books with you. Let's get started." The next session, we began writing the book, 9/11, The Unknown Reality of the World.
Yes.
It didn't take too long, though. It took me about a couple of weeks to really grasp the enormity of the situation, though. Communicating with this celebrity ghost, basically, and taking his direction, it was awesome.
He found you, Mark, right?
Well, yeah. He says that he intervened in the meditations of Cass Smith, my client, hypnotherapy client I had. He basically distracted her during her meditations and led her to my little hypnotherapy office to get the regression. I didn't find out that he was behind it for a few weeks. But yeah, he basically set it up. And some background information. Later on, I also learned that Cass and I made sort of a contract in other lives, what we call past lives in the trade, to meet after the age of 50, when all of our issues were worked out, and start this project. So, is it the same Seth? Oh, yes, I'm convinced. And I have I recorded all of those sessions from the time Cass opened her eyes and spoke to me as Seth in my office on video, and it's all available on our YouTube page, Seth Publisher.
That's remarkable. And now when this happens, is there a voice change?
Not with me, no. I was wondering about that, and Seth used to, when he would come through Jane, transform her voice into this creaky...
kind of guttural. Or something.
Guttural, yeah. It had ethnic tones to it. And I asked him, why don't you do that with us, Cass and myself? And he said, "I don't think that's necessary now." I didn't ask him again because it seems clear that this new material that he's giving us, it is him, but his messages are greatly simplified, and yet they retain that truthful power that they have in the original Seth material of Jane and her husband.
Mark, we talked a little bit about this the last time you were on with me, but for new listeners, why do you think Seth basically picked you, intervened with you? What did he need you for? Because I think there was a reason.
Well, there's a multitude of reasons, as he reminds us. The main one, though, is that back in 2002 when we were introduced, so to speak. It was just after 9/11, and Seth is here to help us prevent. He describes it as an extinction event. We, at that time, and still are, in danger of destroying the planet. So that was the main reason. He wanted to get through to somebody. Why me in particular? Well, my skill set is one of... I've always been interested in the occult, the paranormal, since I was about 11. I've been a CES student since I was 17. I know all about the publishing business. I've learned about desktop publishing and so on. I am a writer, so I have that skill set that you need to do this work.
And you did not know at the time Jane Roberts, unless she passed away in 1984, but did you ever know her before?
Well, I knew her work. I knew the Seth material. I read the Seth material. But in 2002, I hadn't picked up a Seth book in probably a decade. But yes, I was a student of Seth.
In what year did Seth start communicating with you, toward you?
2002, March.
Okay, so when Jane died in 84, there was this gap. I'm wondering if he communicated or was channeled through other people in that gap. Do you know if that happened or not?
Well, that's an interesting question. However, in the Seth community, it's heresy to talk about that. But I'll talk about it.
Why is it heresy?
Well, the main authorities in the Seth community want to keep him dead. They have sort of a vested interest in keeping the Seth material as it is, without these additions. Or adornments or reinterpretations. And so I understand that, but let me say, the issue around this is that Seth is, he's starting to come through a little already. I'm trying to push him off.
Well, no, Brad, let him come through.
Give me a second here.
All right.
Okay.
And when this happens,
yes, this is
who am I talking to?
The Seth that you know. Would you like to ask me that question directly?
Am I talking to you, Seth? Now?
Yes, I'm using Mark's apparatus.
Okay, you obviously
communicate with you.
Heard what we were talking about and jumped in. Literally, huh?
Yes, I'm. Available to discuss these important matters.
Well, when you were dealing through Jane in 19, she died in 1984, and Mark was just telling us that you picked up with him in 2002. In that gap of all those years, did you try to communicate through somebody else, or did you remain silent?
I would say that I have communicated with individuals and collectives throughout what you might call your perceived history. Now, when Jane made her transition, I immediately began communicating with others, some well-known, but mostly I communicate with people who ask for it, so they are engaged in a meditation, let's say. They're looking for a guide. If they're in my tribe, so to speak, I call them the counterparts, the Seth entity counterparts. I answer their questions, and I continue the communication.
What made you pick Mark when you did?
Well, Mark made an agreement with Cass, myself, and some other parts in this little collective, Mark's Soul Family, his wife, some of his friends, to create this project with me in a very early life. We made agreements that all of the potential obstacles would be put to rest before we began the project. So Mark was in a phase of his life when he was what we call identifying his issues and learning his lessons. He had a terrible drinking problem. He doesn't like me to talk about it, but I bring it up as an example for people because it's very common. People drink often to keep spirit at bay, and Mark was doing that. And so after he identified that issue, he couldn't handle his liquor. He began to learn his lesson by not drinking and noticing the improvement in his life.
Has he curtailed drinking?
Yes, he ceased drinking 20-plus years ago.
I've always wondered what it's like on the other side. I mean, is it something you can visually describe or not?
Yes. Yes, I can visually describe it for you. I am there now, but so are you. You have an etheric body, George, that looks down at you as you're on the phone with Mark and notes every moment of behavior, imagery, and emotion. But let me just say that the what I call the home dimension, where the etheric body resides, is noted by pastels, soft pastel colors primarily. I think this accounts for the visionary art of some artists who paint in these pinks and blues. And when they're trying to picture and the etheric realms, what some people call heaven. So it's a very pleasant place, and in a sense, there is no negative emotion allowed. So you have this very peaceful situation in which those of you who make your transition, you pass away. In between incarnations, you meet each other, and because the personality survives the transition.
Seth, is there a hell?
Oh yes, there is a hell. There are heavens, there are hells, and everything in between. Everything that can be created by consciousness exists. It exists in probable dimensions, as I call them. But yes, if you are, for example, and I talk about this in my book on death, if you unfortunately are a member of a family who espouses a fire and brimstone transition, the odds are that you will experience that immediately after you pass away. So that will play out on the inner screen of consciousness according to what you expect. So just as you get what you expect in physical reality, the third dimension, you also get what you expect after death, during the transition and afterward. But after that runs its course, the idea of burning in hell, Satan and so on, the mythologies. After that passes, you become aware of what is really around you, and that is this very loving, angelic environment.
Why haven't you reincarnated?
Well, I've reached the end of that. I have no need to go back.
But you probably did several times, I guess, until you reach this level that you're at now?
Well, yes. I am not a what they call the master. I am not a master by any means. I am a humble educator to humanity. And I have just reached the end of my physical trajectories into the third dimension.
Are you doing this on your own, Seth, or, you know, has some higher entity or power kind of pushed you in this direction to do this?
That's a very good question. There are gestalts of consciousness that reach into the infinite. And these gestalts of consciousness that some people call gods, goddesses, fairies, and so on, are created through worship, through the projections of thought, imagery, and emotion onto them. And so this is what occurs when people worship, let's say, in a church, at a mainstream religion. They vivify, they enliven these gestalts of consciousness that have a reality. The denizens, the gods and goddesses that reside here in these extra-dimensional spaces, have great power. They have the power vested in them by worshipful humans over the millennia. Now, in a way, yes, I am an emissary from this gestalt of consciousness. It is a primary creator gestalt, I call all that is. So I am I'm attempting to be this humble servant at this very difficult time in your existence, in which, as was discussed earlier, you have the potential to destroy your planet. And I have an interest in this because if the planet is destroyed, it also destroys these various dimensional levels that intersect the planet itself, in which I experience my existence. But let me also say that your planet, through the negative behaviors of humans, has been destroyed countless times over the years. It's difficult to conceive of that, but the probable reality that you're experiencing in this moment, it seems very solid to you. Yes, there is the threat that someone will press the button and everything will end.
That's right.
But in other probable realities that are just as brick and mortar and solid appearing as yours, it has been done. Someone made the wrong decision. The nuclear holocaust became a reality, and the Earth and all the life on it was destroyed.
70 years ago. Seth, we're going to do what we do on this planet, and that's take a commercial break. I have to. And when I come back, I'll either be with Mark Allen Frost or Seth. I don't know who. Well, I'm back in Los Angeles. We turned on the old camera for our pre-show, and I'm going to expand the program a little bit, telling you some stories and reading you some show emails and things like that. Welcome back with Mark Allen Frost, or I might be with Seth, so I might I must ask, who am I speaking to?
That would be Mark.
Okay, Mark, you're back. That was quite an adventure for me to talk to Seth. He do you summon him up, or does he just show up?
Well, we handshake. He makes himself known if he wants to talk about something. I can feel him around, and so I agree to let him in. Sometimes, if we're writing books, which is most of the time, I ask him to come in to write books. But that's the way it works. It's a collaboration. And he doesn't invade my personal space.
Mm-hmm. He does not show much emotion. So I hope he wasn't too upset I had to go to a commercial break.
No, he is sort of non-emotional. He does appreciate, he has gratitude, however.
He's invited back if he, I mean, is he listening to you and me
right,
talking?
He's right here.
He's invited back anytime he wants.
Okay, well, let's proceed and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. But the door's always open there.
Yeah, it takes about 5 seconds for him to come in.
So as far as you personally, how has this changed your life?
Well, it turned it upside down. I was, when I met Seth, I was in school at Dominican University. I thought I was going to become a marriage and family therapist. I did graduate, I got my master's degree, but the Seth thing seemed like a lot more fun. And so, it changed my life dramatically. But obviously I'm using the skills and information that I got at the university as far as how to deal with people. And I learned a lot about consciousness. It did really transform my life. It gave me a vocation that I can truly say that I'm doing what I love now.
Are you glad that this has happened to you?
Yeah, I would say for the most part, yeah.
Has there been any downside?
Well, yeah, the downside. The downside is that, like I said, I did an event on Mount Shasta a few weeks ago. I said, the thing about being a channeler is that some people think you're very attractive and powerful, and some people think you're crazy. So in between those two extremes, I live my life, to paraphrase. The downside is that you can be identified as a problem by people, as someone who is challenging the status quo politically, you say.
Does Seth talk to you about future predictions? Does he go that far?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every day we do that. Every day we do that, particularly with our clients on the phone. They will... they want to know what's going to happen in the future, right?
Oh, everybody does, sure.
Yeah, so we give them the particulars, personalized to what will probably happen in their life. So the predictions that we made on your show last time, for example, the broad predictions about the crash of the market. The markets in... the Chinese and U.S. markets. We talk about that with our clients in a particular way. Where should you put your money? And so Seth has counseled these people to keep their money safe. This is the way that we do it with our customers. They want to know about the future, their probable future.
Sure. So, money, health, everything.
Yes, yes. The very popular ones. Relationships, money, health. People want to know about why they're on the planet also. That's very popular.
I mean, does Seth look at things like, you know, will Donald Trump win? Will Hillary Clinton get the nomination? Does he go that far?
Yes, if I ask. He speaks in terms of probabilities. So the prediction that he made, for example, around this dynamic, it's a dynamic of reality creation, he calls it, evolutionary consciousness, is throwing out the negative leaders. He calls it the changing of the guard. And so I've asked him, well, can you be more specific? It's a little vague, throwing out the negative leaders. And so he does get specific in terms of probabilities, who is going to win the election. And then he also reminds me that there's more going on than an election.
Sure
the
is.
Election is sort of a surface facade about what's really going on. And the people in charge, to a large degree, have already determined the outcomes.
He was.
And they're going to, pardon?
Go ahead, Mark. Finish up.
And they're going to work for that outcome. Now, on the other side are these awakening humans. See, Seth is coming in a little bit.
You can do you feel this when he comes in?
Well, yeah. I become more articulate. And I feel a pressing in on my skin as though the air pressure drops in the room. But I'll just let them come in.
All right, here we
yes.
go again.
Now, awakening. You are awakening.
You're Seth, awake. You're back with us?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
You're awakening to truth, essentially. I refer to it in this way. There's a communication stream that informs your consciousness. So it's inside of you, and it comes up in terms of ideas. The ideas come out of nowhere. I am a free being. I create my reality. I am my own authority. I know what's going to happen in my future. And so this ancient wisdom communication stream comes up to be acknowledged. And when you listen to it, you become empowered. You become your own authority, you say. So this is a threat to authorities everywhere. In the political arena, it's a threat. And so we maintain that it's important for people to, in a sense, keep a low profile until you know everything about your collective realities, the truth about your families, the truth about the collectives, the work collectives, the truth about your communities, and so on. So you are advised to practice as the scientist of your own consciousness independently until you get enough findings that will allow you to go public with it.
Seth, I must ask you why there's so much hatred on planet Earth.
Well, you are in a system in which there is the negative. That's why you're here. You are born, created out of love with a capital L. And so all that is splits off a piece of itself, a fragment, and places it inside the consciousness of this developing baby. However, the development takes place in a world of opposites. So you're born out of love, but you identify your issues and learn your lessons through encountering the negative emotions. That's why hatred is in the world, to teach you to not hate. Negative emotions are there to be encountered, noted, in terms of, well, where is this coming from? And then to be transformed into their opposites, which are essentially loving understanding, I call it, and courage. So fear, anger are transformed into loving understanding and courage. So in that sense, hatred is the great teacher for you in the third dimension.
Now, you look into the future, Seth. So I've got to ask you, I mean, is there a rosy future for this planet or not?
Well, let me edit that comment. I exist in the future. I exist in a probable future. Now, the future for humanity, I talk about it in terms of the short term and the long term. The short term view, from my perspective, is quite positive. You're in a neo-Renaissance period now, where evolutionary consciousness demands that negative leaders, for example, be ousted and the visionary leaders take their place. As this occurs, the social, political, economic, and spiritual structures will be transformed. It's a cycle of renewal that many people can feel. You can feel it. It's as though it's on the event horizon, but not yet here. Mm-hmm. So in my books, I ask people to, rather than focus on the propaganda that you see on TV and the false promises of politicians, that you focus on this guidance from within that we call the ancient wisdom, that other people call the source, their guides, and so on. By focusing on the positive, you tend to create it because you create your individual and collective realities by what you're focusing on. I know this is sort of dancing around the question, but let me give you a factual statement.
Okay.
Well, the odds are quite good, and I mean between a 70% and 80% probability that the future, short-term, 18 months, let's say, is very, very rosy for you because of these awakening humans who are coming up to take over. It's a feudal system being transformed into a visionary system. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, primarily. Are you looking at anything short-term that you would consider to be a catastrophe for this planet, whether it's man-made or nature?
Well, in terms of probabilities, yes. The Earth changes. Earth changes occur supported, let's say, on the turbulence of human thought in tandem with all of the elemental energies, the essence of what you would call Gaia, let's say, Mother Earth. So all of these energies intertwine, let's say, and create Earth changes. In fact, lately I've been directing Mark to research the volcanoes and their locations on the North American continent, and I'm asking him to suppose what will occur and teaching him how to do what I do, essentially, which is predict in terms of probabilities these Earth changes. And I'm showing him that this, the center of this, it is like a mandala superimposed over North America, is this Yellowstone volcano.
The caldera, we call it, yeah.
Yes, and they are, I have an etheric perspective, and so I can see how it's connected around the world to all other volcanoes. Your scientists can provide graphics that show you the timing as these volcanoes erupt and try to find some sort of cycle.
Are they planet killers, Seth?
The potential is there, yes.
Oh,
this is a good reason, I think, to watch your thoughts. As I said, the turbulence of human thought, particularly the negative emotions, facilitate these Earth changes. It may sound outlandish. It is the fact of life, however.
Seth, when you come through Mark, what becomes of that entity, Mark? Where is he?
He steps aside. We call this activity multitasking. We enjoyed the computer metaphor. And what occurs is Mark literally allows me in while his consciousness moves outside of his body. His perspective moves to a space, in quotes, that we call the objective observer. So he's noting what's going on here. Now, when Mark is himself, I occupy that location, in quotes, just up to the right of Mark's perspective. As he looks out, I am up in the upper right quadrant, let's say. It's very common for us, the non-physical beings, to work in that way. We enjoy finding a place in the mental landscape of our collaborators, and it gives us something to work on.
If for some reason, God forbid, something happened to Mark, what would become of you?
I would continue to exist and educate. Let me remind your listeners that I'm going to remind them of something they already know. The reason many of you are listening is so that you can keep an appointment with me, because I talk to you in your times of meditation. Mm-hmm. I talk to you out of the texts of the books that I've written, the subtext, I call it, the transmission over the telepathic network. And so I will continue educating humans. I've done it for thousands of years. So I will continue that because it is my job description.
Do you feel like it's your duty, your obligation?
I would say it's my obligation, but it's also my joy. Mark was speaking about the emotions. Do I experience emotions? Yes, I do. I experience gratitude, joy. Anger is not my strong suit, however.
Well, that's good. Seth, we're going to, once again, take a break. We're at the top of our hour, but we will come back with either you or Mark Allen Frost. It is your decision, and we're going to take phone calls from our listeners for you as well.